Bible zone, we'll start in Genesis 39 as the first reference. I hope that you have your sermon notes there. Young people, I hope that you grab those notes and can fill in some blanks as well. Some things you can learn. Moms and dads, maybe you can write in some extra notes as we go along the way. So this morning, we looked at Caleb, the life of Caleb. That really is, in a sense, our motivation to follow the Lord with all of our heart. He was a great example. That his testimony prods us on to trust, to obey the Lord. Tonight we have really, in maybe a lot more detail, living out the reality of having God with us and having a heart to always follow him. So I realize in time, Joseph comes before Caleb, but we have a lot more explanation. So whereas this morning's message, I trust, is a motivation, a go-getter, a go-get-em kind of message, tonight hopefully will be a little bit more on the teaching side, something that we can, just a lot of details or some principles that we can apply to our life to be consistent with our walk with the Lord. You can see, and as we start the notes here, I call him Consistent Joseph, or Joseph the Consistent, we could call him. And the question that we're striving to answer tonight is this: how can one stay faithful to the Lord in the ups and downs of life? How can one stay faithful to the Lord in the ups and downs of life? We, by nature, some of us more maybe than others, are emotional, and God's designed us to be that way. And yet, we are not to allow the circumstances of life, the sorrows and the gladnesses, to be what controls us and our thinking. We are to let the Lord be our guide in any circumstance and any emotion. God's word is faithful, and God is faithful, and we are to faithfully follow him. So how can I be found like Joseph tonight, as we look at his example, in being consistent with my walk with the Lord in the ups and downs? When I'm tempted to be angry or I'm tempted to be discouraged, how can I find myself being faithful instead of giving in to those sinful tendencies and emotions that are so easy to give in to? Well, several principles tonight. I didn't do a 1, 2, and 3 on your notes, but you can see that the main points are all the way to the left edge there. So the always principles, and then we have some thoughts underneath each one of those. So number one, if I'm going to be found faithful in the ups and downs of life, and I'll be able to live a consistent life, what should I do? Well, always be aware of God's presence. That he's with you is the idea. Always be aware of God's presence. As we walk through the story of Joseph, find that God is very close, especially from the point of his dreams on. And he is working under the work, the direction of the Lord. And as he grows, especially as he heads into his time of testing and trial in the land of Egypt, the Lord's presence is always there. And you say, well, that's just God helping him. Well, exactly, but it also is a clue that he is walking with the Lord. God is with him because he's with God. So chapter 39, verse 9, a reference here to just point out, there is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept anything back from me but thee. This is Joseph speaking to Potiphar's wife, because thou art his wife. And notice Joseph's response. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? You see, Joseph realized that if he sinned, even though he was away from his family, even though he was a slave to Potiphar, there was, from an earthly or human plane, no reason for him not to give in and give in to his lusts. This woman wanted him, but he was willing to say no to her. Not because it would risk his life, that was already at risk. It was because it would risk his relationship with God, and he would not ruin his fellowship with the Lord. And so, as we see in our sub-point here under God, be always aware of God's presence. You see, God's presence will keep us righteous. Righteous is your blank there. He knew that God was watching over his whole life. And how could he do this great wickedness and sin against God? Not simply sin against himself or the lady, but sin against God. If I'm going to live a consistent life, in the moment of temptation, I must remember that God is watching. That God sees and knows everything that's going on. And like Joseph, I need to respond and say, ooh, how can I do this and sin against God? Our natural tendency, you know, in the moment something frustrates you or angers you, you want to let loose with that anger. You want to hurt somebody. Yet God says, I'm watching. And that should become the stop to keep me from sinning. It's part of my normal daily routine in prayer. Lord, help me to overcome sin through the power of the Spirit of God. That He would bring conviction at the moment of temptation, taking the Word of God, reminding me of it, and helping me to submit to it and not give in to temptation. May that be how we live. Never forget that God is watching. And so it keeps us righteous. It keeps us from falling to sin. But God's presence also, second subpoint here, God's presence keeps us encouraged too. As you know the story, Joseph, hated by his brothers because he's favored by his father, receives a special coat. He goes out to find out where his brothers are at. They see it as an opportunity to get rid of him. They cast him in a well. Reuben is thinking, I think I can get this figured out so nothing too bad happens. But in the meantime, Reuben, for some reason, is not in the crowd. Judah leads them they see a caravan coming by, leads them to sell Joseph as a slave. Heads down to Egypt. He's sold in the slave market to Potiphar. Be like the bodyguard of Pharaoh. And he's in Potiphar's house. God blesses, helps him. It says the Lord is with him. And he makes everything that Joseph does to prosper. That's because, again, we find that Joseph is wanting to follow the Lord too. That it coordinates well. And then Potiphar's wife wants to sin. And he will have nothing to do with that. And so she complains to her husband. Twists the story. Uses Joseph's righteousness actually against him. She shows him the cloak, say, hey, look, he left when I screamed. And Potiphar casts him into prison. An interesting side note in this part of the story is Potiphar could have easily just had him slain. My wonderment is, and it's a wonderment, we don't know for sure, did Potiphar really know the character of his wife and wondered, something's not right here. I don't think I'm going to kill Joseph. I'm wondering if Joseph, there's something more to the story, but I didn't want to go against his wife. So cast him into prison. Well, here now Joseph finds himself in prison. Worse scenario than being the slave of Potiphar. And yet God is with him. And the ruler of the prison, the captain of the prison there, makes him the head of all. He's the administrator in the prison. So the prisoner's over, a prisoner over the prisoners, helping them with, obviously, I'm sure they had work detail, all those kinds of things to do. They just didn't let them sit around and watch TV all day like in some of our modern prisons. Anyway, so they're working. Joseph's in charge of all of that. God prospers him. And then finally, God, in a miraculous move, has Pharaoh dream a dream that none of his wise men can help. And the butler who had been in prison now reminds himself, oh, I forgot I was supposed to tell you about Joseph. But I remember there's this young man that can interpret dreams. He interpreted mine, and he interpreted the baker's, and it came to pass exactly as he said. And so they send for Joseph. Joseph cleans up, comes before Pharaoh, interprets the dream. And Pharaoh says, we need a wise man like that to help us through these times of great plenty before the famine comes. And Joseph then is given a wife. And he becomes second in command. He has two sons. And this is where we find this point of encouragement. You say, all that background for this? Yes, I want you to follow chronologically. So, chapter 41, at the end of the chapter there, verse 51. And Joseph called the name, well, let's reverse it. And under Joseph were born two sons before the years of famine came, which Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, the priest of On, bare unto him. And Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh. Now notice the explanation of Manasseh's name. For God, said he, hath made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. Now that's a very interesting thought. Why would Joseph want to forget all his father's house? Well, it's very apparent that he's not speaking of forgetting who they were or his love for them. That's demonstrated as we complete the story, and the brothers come down. He knows them immediately. They don't know him. And he works to be able to bring the family back together, and God blesses, and that actually happens. And so Jacob and his family come down to Egypt, are protected and cared for. God using Joseph to care for his children, his future nation, in an amazing way. So it wasn't that Joseph forgot his family, or it's like, okay, I have a family down here, I can just utterly forget. No, what did he forget? Well, it's in that first part of the phrase. Not only had he forgotten his toil, the slavery and the imprisonment, but he forgot also the mistreatment of his family. In that word forget, we could understand that Joseph was willing to forgive his family. So here's our point. Second point under always be aware of God's presence. God's presence will keep us righteous, but God's presence will keep us encouraged. You see, even after many years, Joseph was able to look forward to the day when maybe he could meet his family again and find that there would be healing, there'd be an opportunity to draw them together. And he was looking forward to the day to face-to-face forgive them. He had forgotten. He was willing to put aside, as if it didn't happen, he was willing to forgive his brethren. What an amazing testimony of God's great work in Joseph's life. In every way, he would have had a right, from at least the human plane, to destroy his brethren when they showed up. But because God had encouraged his heart and helped him to see, and we'll point it out maybe even later, he tells his brothers, don't go home complaining, God put me here. Later on, after Jacob dies, he tells his brother again, brethren, don't fear me. God sent me here on purpose to protect you. Am I going to give up on that promise now to the Lord? I will protect you. I love you. What an amazing, amazing work that God had done in Joseph's life to encourage him to do what's right, even in the midst of great trial. So God encouraged him. And then he goes on, verse 52, in the name of the second called he Ephraim. And here's the explanation of Ephraim. For God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. It did not get beyond Joseph that it was God's hand that blessed him in the midst of his affliction. Now, wait a second. At the point of the birth of Ephraim, Joseph is the prime minister, can we use that term, of Egypt. Second in command. That's not affliction, it doesn't sound like to me. That sounds like glory. That sounds like grandeur. Why would he say, God has caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction? Because he understood and knew that God had done some great work in his heart and life, had tried him to make him more godly, to be prepared for the work and ministry that God had for him in the days ahead. Not at this point knowing what would happen. And two, could we not add that even though God had blessed in many ways, where was Joseph's heart? He longed to be home. Egypt, even in all of its grandeur, in all of the blessing that Joseph experienced, was still a place of heartbreak, affliction. Many of you in your life have had affliction or trials. And maybe some of you are going through some now, some that are really long term. It seems like, is there any hope for this, whatever conflict or issue, to be resolved? Take encouragement tonight from Joseph's life. Live in the presence of God. Never forget that God is with you. And he brings encouragement along the way. And so, like Joseph, God gives him a second son. He's fruitful, even in the midst of affliction. The trials seem to make, at times, the blessing of God even more sweet. And rejoice in God's goodness, even in the midst of affliction. Well, let's hasten on. So always be aware of God's presence. But secondly, always labor for God's promotion. Promotion, all right? All these major words start with the letter P tonight. We should live to bring glory to God. No matter the circumstance of our life should be a sweet testimony to the work of God in our life and the greatness of our God. Not something about us. No, in every circumstance of life, God's name should be exalted. So let's see what happens here in Joseph's life. Back to chapter 39. Flip back there. Chapter 39, verse 2. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, Master Potiphar, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had put into his hand. God was the one, verse 3, that pushed forward, made profitable Joseph's work in the house of Potiphar. He brought great success to Joseph's work. Now, how did Potiphar, it seems like he's almost really recording Potiphar's words here, master saw, verse 3, that the Lord was with him. How did Potiphar know about the Lord? Well, because Joseph was being a sweet testimony to promote his God with his master. You say, Pastor, are you trying to stretch the passage there? No, we'll discover as he goes to prison, he doesn't hide at all about who his Lord is. And so he brings it up with the butler and the baker. Here, I know I can't interpret prayers, but I know dreams, I should say, but I know a God who can. Tell me your dream, and I'll talk to my God. What an amazing way to promote God. So, when life, as we consider his slavery in this moment, when life is not fair, there's your blank, I should still be about promoting God. You see, too often when we see something unfair in life, it becomes a matter of trying to promote ourselves and saying, life's not fair. I didn't get my just reward. And we become very self-centered and self-promoting. Joseph, being tested and trained by God, is unwilling to do that, so that even in his slavery, his master knows of his God. God was with Joseph, and Joseph promoted his God, even when life was not fair. We rest that one day God will right all wrongs and correct all evils. It is not our time or our job to do revenge. Paul picks it up in Romans 12 at the end of the chapter. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I'm not to be about getting what's always fair to me. I'm rather in the midst of even my affliction or my slavery to promote my great God. I think of that little slave girl taken away during Elisha's day, and Naaman. Naaman was a leper, her master. He served the king, the wicked king, and yet she had a sweet testimony before that her master. Here she is, taken away from mom and dad, and she says, oh, I wish my master would go back to Israel and see the prophet there, because he could heal my master of his leprosy. What a sweet testimony. The story of Naaman, though a powerful story, both, there are so many things happening there with Naaman, with Elisha, with Gehazi, Elisha's servant, but that little servant girl, to give a testimony, like Joseph did to his master, that is a high point of that story. Whatever happened to that slave girl? As far as we know, she never got to go home. It's not recorded in Scripture. It would seem to reason that she stayed a slave to her master the rest of her life. And yet she still had the courage and the joy to tell about her great God. So when life is not fair, I should still promote God. When life is, next blank, when life is miserable, chapter 39, verse 20, and Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound. And he was there in the prison. Wow, that's not a pleasant place. The prison was not a good place to be. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy. gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. And whatsoever they did there, he, that is Joseph, was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to any that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him. And that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. Here we have again an amazing testimony about God. When life is miserable, when life's in prison, yet Joseph was still about bringing praise to God. And as I already mentioned, later on, we have in the next chapter, chapter 40, the dreams of the butcher and the baker, not the candlestick maker, right? And what an amazing joy to say, well, God is with you and or with me, and I will be happy to interpret the dream. So, very interesting, just a side note, and you may want, moms and dads, you may want to write down this cross-reference, because this is amazing. Psalm 105, verse 19, and there's actually a section in Psalm 105, as the psalmist is recounting the history and God's working in history to protect his children and care for his children. So he brings up Joseph and how God protected the nation through Joseph. And yet as he's describing Joseph's life there, in verse 19 of Psalm 105, it says that God's word tried him. And the word means to refine. In the first part of that's the end of verse 19. In the first part of the verse, he had pointed out that God had given Joseph a promise through the dreams. Remember, Joseph had had two dreams in Genesis chapter 37 that he would be the prominent one in his family. The brothers mocked him and despised him for it. Jacob paid attention a little bit, but then even in the second dream said, Joseph, how could that be? God kept his word, and yet in keeping his word, he also brought Joseph, and that's the end of verse 19 of Psalm 105, brought Joseph through a trial to prepare him for the work to protect his own children. God needed to mature Joseph, and he did. And he used his word to try him. Joseph had to realize, God's made this wonderful promise. I've had these dreams, they're prophetic. How could this ever be? I've got to trust God through my slavery, through my imprisonment. And he did. He never forgot God, so God was always there. Now God was helping him and walking with him. Believer, God again has promised to be with you through times of misery, through times of being treated unfairly, no matter in the workplace, no matter in our nation, whatever it may be, no matter in your home. God can be with you. Be willing to promote God in your life. Let him teach you all that he wants you to teach, all that he wants to teach you. Grow in the Lord and bring praise to God, even in the midst of hard times. That's how I can be consistent through the ups and the downs of life. Finally, the next point under always labor for God's promotion. When do I do it? Well, when life is not fair, when life is miserable, when life is grand, when life is grand. Chapter 41, and I have just verse 46 mentioned. That's really the end of this section. Go back to verse 41 of chapter 41. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. So he had interpreted Pharaoh's dream. He said, how can I find anybody wiser than this man? And so Pharaoh promotes him. He sets him over all the land of Egypt. Verse 42, and Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand, put it upon Joseph's hand, and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen, put a gold chain upon his neck, and he made him to ride in the second chariot which he had. And they cried before him, bow the knee! And he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. So I am simply over you in my rank and my position, Pharaoh says, but the reality is you're going to be the one managing and ruling here in the nation of Egypt. And Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zaphnath-Paaneah, and he gave him to wife Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On. And Joseph went out over all the land of Egypt. And Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout all the land of Egypt. Now, consider this. Promotion from the rags of the prison to the refinery of the palace. And he's only 30 years old. Like his life is still way there's much life ahead of him. What a grand thing. And yet, he recognized that God was doing this work. Go back to verse number 16. Chapter 41, verse 16. And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, "It is not in me." I can't interpret the dream, Joseph. "God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace." Already promising blessing if he would listen to God's interpretation. Look at verse number 39. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, "For as much as God has showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art." You see, even in the midst of the start of his grandeur, Joseph would not neglect testifying for his God. Sometimes it is difficult when life is good and everything seems to be grand for us to continue to give praise to God. We just kind of get complacent. Thus, often in our life, God brings us back to a point of testing or trial so that we will be utterly dependent upon God. I suspect I've told several of you over the years here, when you face a trial, one of the blessings of being in the midst of a trial is this: it keeps you utterly dependent upon God. And that's where we're supposed to be always. And when we are utterly dependent upon God, the only praise that can be given is to God, who protects, watches over, gives us strength through the trial, all those things. But that should still be true even in the midst of the grandeur. When God gives us peace or a green pasture in our life, may we always be found promoting our God, thanking him, not just in ourselves and our heart to him, but thanking him before others, giving praise, that's the word praise, to God for his goodness to us. And Joseph was willing to point God out even in the midst of prosperity. Again, if we ran back to Psalm 105, some of the biblical interpretation of what's happening in Joseph's life, in verse 22, God says that he put Joseph in his position of leadership in Egypt so that he could, quote, teach his, talking about Pharaoh's, teach his senators wisdom. That's amazing. The word senators could be translated elders as well. So God had not only the purpose of redeeming and saving Jacob and his family, the nation of Israel, caring for them through the famine and on ahead in the years ahead, but also he wanted Joseph to have impact among the palace. God using Joseph to teach, to promote God, even in the time of great leadership and grandeur. May we be found the same thing like Joseph. We want to be consistent in the ups and downs of life. Well, never forget the presence of God. Always be aware that God is with you. Always labor for God's promotion. And then finally tonight, always be patient with God's plans. I don't have time to go into it, and I've already taken most of the time that I should take tonight. But the amazing story that happens as Joseph reveals himself to his brothers, and again, as we walk through the book of Genesis, we will park. This is, to me, one of the most beautiful pictures of forgiveness and restoration that we have in the entire scriptures. God gives us so many details to be aware of what's happening. But first, let's do this. Look in chapter 40, verses 14 and 15, and I'll give you the notes here. So, always be patient with God's plans. His timing is always perfect. So, wait on God's, here's your blank, wait on God's clockwork. Wait on God's clockwork. Chapter 40 and verse number 14. This is Joseph speaking to the butler, and asking that he would maybe mention him to Pharaoh because he was wrongfully imprisoned. And he says in verse 14, "But think on me when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, bring me out of this house, this prison house. For indeed I was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews, and here also have I done nothing that they should put me into the dungeon." And then the baker then asks about his as well. You see here, Joseph just saw this as an opportunity for God to do something good. He was not passive or placid in doing his life. So when I say wait on God's clockwork, it doesn't mean you shouldn't be doing anything. You should sit down and cry, you know, life's bad. I don't have anything going for me. God isn't doing anything for me. No, that's absolutely wrong. God asks of us to be doing what we can in the circumstance that we find ourselves. So here, Joseph setting a great example. So there's an opportunity. This man that's right in front of him, the butler, is going to be going back to Pharaoh. Would you be so kind? I have, you know, God has used me to help you. Would you be kind enough to help me and see if maybe the Pharaoh would let me out of prison? I would like to at least give an argument for why I shouldn't be here. And yet, we find that his heart was at peace. And how do I know that? Well, as you read the rest of the story, butler gets back to the position. Did he say anything about Joseph? No. We get to chapter 41, and it was a couple of years. A couple more years, Joseph's left in prison. And yet, at the moment that he's brought out to interpret Pharaoh's dream, what does he do? The first words out of his mouth is, I'll interpret the dream if you get me out of prison. There was no bitterness. And again, as his brothers show up, there's no bitterness. There's just a desire to bring reconciliation, to find out if there had been a heart change. Thus, he tests his brothers, but not bitterness. And he weeps. There's moments as we walk through the revelation of Joseph to his brothers that he has to step aside and weep because it's not time for them to know that he's his brother. His heart is passionate and in love with his brethren. And so he's prepared his heart and ready in the midst of God's timing, but waiting for God's timing to be just right. May we not be found running ahead of God's plan. Now, don't fall behind when God gives the opportunity for ministry, for service, for whatever it may be. Well, do it. Don't be lazy. But on the other hand, don't say, I'm going to do this for God, and it's not God's time. There will be often confirmation from his word, from your brothers and sisters in Christ on whatever the decision is. Let's be careful to follow God's time. Joseph didn't run ahead of God, and he patiently waited for freedom and for blessing as it would come. Grateful in the midst of the trials for the blessings that were there. Never, never wanting more than what God would give. And may we be found with that same spirit. So wait on God's clockwork in your life. And then wait on God's heart work. We find in chapter 41, verses 33 to 38, that Pharaoh needed God and God's man to interpret the dream. And as we've already mentioned, God pointed it out. In fact, why don't we, instead of reading from chapter 41, let's run with me to chapter 45 real quick, verses 7 to 9. Chapter 45, verses 7 to 9. And God sent me, this is Joseph after he had just revealed himself to his brothers. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh and a lord of all his house and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Joseph again acknowledging that God was doing a great work in Pharaoh's life. And thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen. Or I'm sorry, verse 9. Haste ye and go up to my father and say unto him, thus saith the Lord, thy son Joseph, God hath made me lord over all Egypt. Come down unto me, tarry not. You shall dwell in the land of Goshen. Notice the theme of God in this section. God had abundantly blessed, and he had been used, Joseph had been used by God to even work in Pharaoh's heart, to interpret Pharaoh's dream. We don't have record of it in Scripture, and so I don't want to step beyond what Scripture says. But let me say, as I understand the passage and God's work there, and even in reference to Psalm 105, it would not surprise me one bit that we're going to see several of Pharaoh's palace people, his cabinet or whatever, in heaven. And wouldn't surprise me if we see Pharaoh too. Obviously, there came a Pharaoh that did not know Joseph and began to persecute the children of Israel. That was later on. But it's interesting to see God do some great work. Joseph waited on God's heart work. But more importantly, the bigger picture here, and the references are in chapter 44, verses 15 to 18, and then 44, 32, on into chapter 45, when Joseph works to make sure that their hearts had changed, And as I already mentioned, Judah coming forward and saying, listen, keep me as your bondman. We must send Benjamin back. I love my dad. I love Benjamin. I want them to go back. My father would die if Benjamin doesn't show up. Please keep. God had done such a work in the heart and lives of all of his brothers that Joseph knew. We can have restoration. Things can be put back together. He gladly had forgiven them. And they were stunned. Joseph had waited on God to do the great work in the brothers' hearts so that the restoration could be made. Could it be that that's why Joseph hadn't at any point gone up to the land of Israel, even after he'd become the prime minister of Egypt? Now I realize many would argue that though he was second in command, he was still the Pharaoh's servant. And so he couldn't do much in his life without Pharaoh's approval. I will say this in defense of my position to say that he could have maybe gone up but chose not to because he was unaware of the heart work that God was doing. He didn't know if this would be the time. What would be the response if he showed up in royal robes? There would be quick rejoicing, but then never opportunity to reveal the heart of the brothers and to see if they had changed so that they would properly love and do what's right. If that hadn't been revealed, then he would never know for sure if the children would be treated properly, the next generation would be loved rightly, all those things. So God doing his great work, and obviously Pharaoh, back to my point, Pharaoh let Joseph go when it was time to bury Jacob. The whole family left and went up and then came back. So Joseph waited for God to do his good work. There are times, and it's hard, because we would like to help someone make a right decision. Whether it's our children, whether it's someone we're trying to disciple, whether it's a neighbor that needs to come to know the Lord, it's like, why don't they? No, we need to wait on God's heart work. Give them every opportunity. You share truth, but we're just the messenger. And you wait on God to change a heart. Application for your home tonight, moms and dads. Maybe even directly to the wives tonight. There are times where you feel like your husband is maybe not making the best choice. You know that God has asked you to let him be the leader in the home. But you would really like to tell him what for. You've got to figure it out. And I will tell you there's been experiences in my own personal life with my first wife, with Abby. Not with Abby as much. I trust the Lord's grown me a little bit more. But with my first wife where Deb had it right, and I was a blockhead. And it took a while for God to work in my heart to get things straight. And I'm so glad he did. And Deb joyfully waited for God to do his heart work, sharing truth where it was appropriate, but never trying to push where it was inappropriate. Often in our relationships, we need to give truth and allow God to do the great work. And that's where I can remain consistent. So it can be discouraging to wait on someone to grow in the Lord, to come to Christ. And yet I can be consistent in that time if I am willing to wait for God to do his work, like Joseph did. Waiting on God's timing in his life to find blessing, waiting on God's timing in other people's lives and God's heart work so that relationships could be restored rightly and fully and completely. That's amazing to me. So tonight, as we strive to, like Caleb, follow the Lord wholly, trust God, obey God, let us strive to be consistent in our walk with the Lord, always being aware of God's presence, always laboring for God's promotion, always being patient with God's plans. I trust as you try to incorporate these principles into your life, and really, it's wrapped up in the life of Joseph. Let Joseph be our example. Let him be your reminder point. And as you struggle at times maybe with your own walk with the Lord and your inconsistency, as temptation comes or trials come, let your mind flee back to Joseph's life and find a consistent walk with the Lord as you remember that God's with you, watching over you. As you remember that God should always be promoted in my life, it's not about me. As you remember to wait on the Lord's timing, the Lord's clockwork and heart work, to allow the blessings of God to flow in your life and in the future. I trust this has been encouragement to your heart. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for your word tonight. Thank you for the testimony of Joseph. And I pray that you would help us this evening to be willing to follow it, even as we live out the year 2021. Lord, may we find our lives being consistent as we remember your presence. Lord, as we work for your promotion, as we patiently wait for your plans to be brought forward in your good time and in your good way in our life. Thank you for who you are. May we love you more this week and live for you faithfully. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Well, I trust you have a good start to your week. Thanks for listening all the way to the end. I took up my time tonight. Don't forget Tuesday. I'll give you a note out for sure about what's happening on Wednesday night. Let's be praying for one another, not only our health, but for our spiritual well-being through these days. And Lord willing, we'll see each other in a week or so. Have a good night. We'll see you later.